We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, episode number 492. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak. How's it going today, bud?
It's a good day. I'm getting lots done this week, usually do before month end, so it just makes you feel good. Accomplishing good stuff is good for the soul, I think.
It is. Yeah, it does. It's a huge part of our psyche, I think. At the end of the day, if we don't have a lot done, it's not good. One of the things I've noticed is that if I don't keep track of what I've got done, sometimes I don't feel like I got anything done too.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I've had those days. Yeah.
When you're being pulled in too many directions.
Yeah. And then at the end of the day, you're like, I didn't do anything today. But if you actually step back and take a look at all the little things, it's enormous. You did something. You've been sitting there for 8 hours.
It's one of the problems with my job. I find I'm constantly being in so many directions, pulled in so many directions. I don't really have a completion of something.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got to look at it as a whole. I'm sure others out there are feeling the same thing sometimes. Anyway, let's jump into some SEO news. This first one is Google has removed breadcrumbs from the mobile search engine result pages. So tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, so back in 2009, Google started adding breadcrumbs into the results. So where you'd see the URL normally, you'd have additional breadcrumb links in that portion of the SERPs. Well, they are now removing that. So if you see it gone, that's why it's gone. It will remain in desktop. It's only being pulled from mobile only, mostly because they weren't providing much value, according to Google, and they just want to simplify how the URLs appear. So the main reason I'm bringing this one up, because it's not a big thing, but it might be for some. If you're used to seeing your website with those breadcrumbs and now they're gone, don't panic. Nothing's wrong with your site. They're just not there for anybody anymore. So you don't have to go back and call your SEO and be like, my breadcrumbs are gone. What did you do? Because they didn't do it. So yes.
Good to know. Yeah. And I think it's good that they tighten up the real estate on mobile. They're adding so many ads. They got to do it.
Got to fit the ads in somehow.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things I should have prefaced the show with is that I apologize this month being a little tight on shows. January, that is. We're at the end of the month already, and this will be only our second episode. And that's due to a number of things. One of the main things being that I was a little sick earlier in the month, and I've had some issues lately too. But the main issue is I've been getting a new roof. In fact, occasionally you might even hear a thump or something, and it's never ending. It's just wonderful. So not being able to record has been kind of... Well, it's just the way of life right now. So it's okay. Got lots of other stuff done, and I hope you guys don't mind. We'll be back to at least 3 shows a month next month, hopefully back to weekly, but we'll play it by ear. Anyways, right back at it here. Yahoo search. What the? So there's an actual article here about Yahoo Search and AI. What is Yahoo? I almost, yeah.
I don't, it's that commercial where they scream Yahoo. That's, yes, that's all I remember.
That's right. Yeah.
Welcome to 1998. Apparently,
2 years ago, Yahoo tweeted that it will make search cool again. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were all just bated breath. Anyway, a week later, fast forward to now, they explained Yahoo Search is making a return. Or no, a week later, it's from then. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And then later that year, in November 2023, Yahoo said we can expect something soonish. Then nothing. Crickets. Well, this week, Barry Sachin noted.
Barry noted. That's a typo on my. That's my.
Oh,
bad.
Okay.
So Barry Schwartz actually noted that Sachin Patel. I don't know how that happened in there. Sachin Patel posted this to X. If you want to continue.
Okay, he posted X that Yahoo was showing a new banner across the top of search that reads, "We're building a new Yahoo.com to show more of what's interesting to you." No one knows what this means. It's, of course, not available in Canada at the moment. And, you know, they're continuing to incorporate AI chat features with Yahoo Search and AI answers. But, you know, they're only powered by AI, OpenAI, I mean. So there's really nothing amazing about that. Interesting timing. I actually had a lunch with a former Yahoo employee just a couple weeks ago. Oh. And it was really interesting. Lots of I love talking about the fellow search engine nerd. He actually did some of the programming on it. And it was just a wild, all the changes that went on there. Anyways, he didn't seem to have any, you know, positive things to say about where it's going. So I don't know. Like, what is this? Are they just going to ride the coattails of someone else? That's what I expect. They've been bought so many times. They've lost so much of their mind share. I really don't know what they can do.
But yeah, I don't think they're going to make a comeback, but nothing would make me happier to see them make a comeback, just to throw more into the competition out there. But
and I always liked the brand. I thought it was kind of cool brand. I was really bummed when they sold out and stuff. It was, you know, I've had my issues with Yahoo over the years. Yahoo's and Yahoo. It's been noted on the podcast many times way back when it was still running. But it's nice to have the differentiators. Now, one of the things we'll talk about in the AI segment is that it's becoming much easier for just about any company to launch a competing AI system to OpenAI. It's nuts, in fact.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe they will have their own, or maybe that will happen next. We don't know what's happening, but interesting that they've even come back on the radar. Yeah.
What Yahoo should do is they should create a directory and charge $300 a year to be listed in it. That would be revolutionary.
It would. Yeah. And open a directory project too to help run it.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah. They could call demos1.org or I don't know.
Anyway. I miss those days.
Oh, I don't.
Well, I guess I don't, but I kind of do at the same time.
The directories were so horrible.
Yeah, they were, but. They worked somehow.
It did. Yeah. All right. Well, this is another big one that happened and it got me a little nervous, I admit, probably unreasonably nervous. But anyway, there was a big Google change that disrupted SEO tools earlier in January, resulted in data blackouts. Some of the major tools pretty much just lost any ability to do reporting. It was quite a mess. So why don't you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, I had a bit of a panic attack. It was very brief, but I went to check rankings for a certain client and everything was gone. They just tanked -100, -100, -100 for everything. Like, oh God, what's going on? What happened? I thought they were banned or penal. And I checked another client. I saw it happen to another client. And then I panicked and thought, well, that's unlikely. Like there's nothing we do that's bad that would cause a site to be totally destroyed like that. And then I quickly checked and all of them were like that. I'm like, okay. So then I emailed the provider we use. And I'm like, something's going on here. They got back to me a couple days later. And that's how I first heard about this. And what happened is Google made a big change on January 15th, impacted a ton of tools. You probably saw it if you use any tools really. And what they did is they were forcing users to have JavaScript turned on in order to use search. And a lot of these tools that scrape and report on rankings, they don't use JavaScript. So now that JavaScript's turned on, suddenly these tools don't work because they have to have JavaScript turned on. So Most of the tools are fixed. I think it was by January 20th, almost everything was back online. So, you know, 4 or 5 days later. So that's good. I find it interesting that Google is, well, I'll get into this in just a moment. Google says that about 0.1% of users search with JavaScript disabled. And if you do the math, that works out to about 8.5 million searchers a day that can't use Google now without JavaScript. So that's a, that's significant. I mean, it's a small number compared to their 8.5 billion users daily, but you know, to cut out 8 million plus users, that's crazy that they can just do that and not really get hurt by it. But anyways,
assuming those are people.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I don't know how that breaks down. So
yeah, there could be who knows? You'd like to think that they know that those are people, but I don't know.
Yeah. Do they know? Anyways, the main question was, you know, why did Google make this change? And Patrick Hathaway, who's co-founder and CEO of Sitebulb, which is another SEO tool, says that the attack is not on keyword tools, but rather on LLMs, large language models. And so by making their data, this is actually a quote from Patrick, by making their data more difficult to access at scale, Google is protecting themselves against LLMs training their data sets based on Google's data. We know that almost all LLMs are not executing JavaScript. So in the short term, this should mean they will struggle to access Google search results. In the long term, presumably it will just make their task, make the task more expensive and therefore less viable. Google does not want LLMs accessing their search results or their AI overviews and the queries that trigger them. And that's the main reason for the outage. They are not, well, he says, keyword tracking tools are just collateral damage. So one thing to note on this, things are working now. And I saw, I think it was Roger Monty in a different article said or speculated that we could see an increase in fees for these various tools because using JavaScript does require more computing power, which makes it more expensive for the tools to gather the data that we're using. So if you do see tool prices go up, that could be why.
I just hope SEMrush doesn't think of updating, increasing their prices. It's already very high.
Well, I think their rates are already the max that numbers go to. So I don't think they can go higher. There are no bigger numbers that exist yet.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, let's take a quick break. And we come back, we're going to talk about some expansion of site reputation abuse enforcement.
As digital professionals and business owners, we understand the critical importance of a secure and high-performing website. That's why I want to talk to you about Kinsta, a managed WordPress hosting provider that delivers exceptional speed, security, and reliability. Kinsta's infrastructure is optimized for WordPress, ensuring your site loads lightning fast and ranks well in search results. They utilize Google Cloud's premium tier network and CD3 virtual machines, which significantly boost performance. In fact, Kinsta customers often experience up to a 200% increase in site speed just by migrating to their platform. Security is paramount, and Kinsta provides enterprise-grade measures to protect your valuable data. They are one of the few WordPress hosting providers with SOC 2 certification, guaranteeing the highest level of security for your website. Kinsta's My Kinsta dashboard offers a user-friendly interface with a comprehensive suite of tools to manage your site efficiently. From cache control and debugging to redirects and CDN setup, My Kinsta simplifies website administration. For SEO 101 listeners, Kinsta offers specific advantages. Their platform is optimized for speed, a crucial ranking factor in search engine algorithms. Their security measures protect your site from malware and hacking attempts that could damage your online presence. And their expert support team is available 24/7 to assist with any technical issues that may arise. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanak. Well, Google has expanded its site reputation enforcement to German sites. This is site reputation abuse, I should say. This is where people are using popular sites, and they're trying to ride the coattails of them to get links and benefits to their own websites. And it's been a big issue. And they're against it, and they're trying to hammer it down. Anyway, they've started applying this enforcement to actually a lot of Europe, including France, Italy.
Spain. Sorry.
What was that?
That's supposed to say Spain. I should have proofread these notes.
Yeah.
You're stumbling on my typos. This is not a good look for me.
Yeah. Okay. And Spain and others. And this week, they further expanded into Germany. Christian Kunz, a German blogger, told Barry Schwartz, quote, "Google has probably taken first manual actions in Germany against site reputation abuse. A SERP for coupon codes that previously showed many news websites is now free from third-party content in the top rankings," unquote. Anyways, it sounds like they're cleaning things up is what it got down to there. You've written down what reputation abuse is. I'll just say it anyway, what you've written, because it may be more clear than what I said. It's essentially site reputation abuse is a tactic where third-party content is published on a host site mainly because of that host's already established ranking signals, which it has earned primarily from its first-party content. The goal of this tactic is for the content to rank better than it could have otherwise on its own. The penalties are the result of a human-imposed manual action. These are not given algorithmically. Good points to note. And I think it's a good idea. And the stuff was getting crazy. Forbes, oh my God, the garbage that was on Forbes.
Oh yeah.
It was getting ridiculous, and it was too bad because expert Forbes stuff was really something I enjoyed reading. And not all of them were garbage, but there was some garbage. All right. Now in AI news, I'll let you take this next one. Google AI Overviews is now providing programming help. Woohoo!
Yeah, so this is kind of cool. So when performing a search in Google for programming help, you'll now start to see coding examples and help within AI Overviews. Gibbons posted to X an example that after searching for extract title tag Python, AI Overviews gave him a piece of example code. So I tried it myself, and I did a search for FAQ page markup code example, and it spat out a full chunk of code ready to go. And not that I need in that particular example to use it very often, I do it separately, but it gave me the code exactly as I would need it. So that's really cool, because often if I need a piece of code and I don't know exactly how to, even if I know exactly how to do it, it's so much easier to go to AI and say, hey, can you give me a template for this code? It spits it out. Or you can say, here are all the variables. Can you add it into this code? And it does it. Well, if Google's doing it right in search, it just makes it faster and easier. Sometimes I still need to be in Team GPT or whatever AI tool I happen to be using. But if you need something quick and dirty, I think that's a big sell, and I think I'll definitely use it. It's just faster and easier, really. So I think that's great. Barry does wonder, though, what impact this is going to have on coding sites like Stack Exchange and other sites like that.
In time it might. Not initially, because a lot of people just don't trust everything they see in these results, right? Whereas Stack Exchange, it's built trust for decades.
Yeah, that's true. People know it. So, like, the big sites are probably going to survive just fine, but Yeah. Anyways, it's I like that. I mean, we haven't had a lot of AI overview news lately that excited me, and this one is like this is a good move, I think, for Google. I think it's a good move for, yeah, like it's a great feature for anyone that does any kind of coding and you need a quick little snippet of code. It's going to make life easier for some people.
Yeah, very cool. One of the things that got me kind of excited was as I track down what's going on in AI, DeepSeek is the latest news. It's been around for a little bit, maybe in at least on my radar for a few weeks now, but it's really taking hold in the news realm for us geeks. It's not really out there. Well, I guess it's mainstream. It's on some of the major networks and stuff, but it's such a disruptor. It's a LLM like OpenAI. It's 100% out of Beijing, China. It's large language model, which is essentially what any of these systems are, like ChatGPT and stuff. It's based on not a new architecture. Well, maybe it is. I don't even know if it's new, but it's called a mixture of experts architecture, which is like ensemble learning. So the description here, it's a machine learning technique where multiple expert networks or learners are used to divide a problem space into homogeneous regions. It's so they can take multiple experts and they can pull together opinions and ideas and make it into something. And it's the reason that's really cool is it's a managed to speed things up. But what's really disrupting about this for the AI market are a few things. First of all, cost efficiency. If this is true, this is nuts. The company has said that in an AI paper they wrote last month that the training of DeepSeek version 3, which is on par with OpenAI and actually surpasses it massively in the mathematical area, required less than $6 million worth of computing power from NVIDIA H800 chips. So that's mind-boggling because we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars to create OpenAI. And it can beat or match OpenAI for $6
million? Wow.
That's mind-boggling. And it is talking about an upset. And one of the biggest upsets, I've actually got a note at the bottom, I haven't finished writing it, but... and I thought this was a chuckle, is these big AI companies are becoming mega companies of bureaucracy or people even that have these cushy jobs with big paychecks. And this company is fairly small still. I mean, comparatively, it's dramatically small. And yet the people who run it are making huge salaries, way bigger than the other guys. And they're keeping tight. That's so not the American way.
Yeah.
As soon as something is successful, like OpenAI, things just get out of control. It is higher, 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 and it gets become this monster. And it costs more and more, and they keep asking for more money from lenders. Well, these lenders are going, what the hell? $6 million? And the craziest part about this, it's open source. So what? This is something like, first of all, I never thought I'd see, and I apologize for being closed-minded, I guess, but that Beijing or China would allow something this powerful to be open source. That's pretty amazing. I'm really impressed with that. Not to say that whatever you put in there isn't being reviewed. That's the thing. Yeah, I looked at the privacy statement for DeepSeek and there's none. There's no privacy at all. I mean, everything you put in can be used. You don't expect any privacy. Don't put anything in that's very private or anything at all.
So don't type, my name is Ross Dunn and I have a rash. And hey. Sorry. Don't say that.
Talk about that stuff. So anyway, they've lowered the financial barrier to developing advanced AI models. And that you just can't say enough about how big the deal that is. Because all these other systems are using crazy amounts of power. I mean, how Google's going to build 3 nuclear power plants, not themselves, that's but nuts. They're having them built just to run their networks. I mean, that's so much power. And yet they may not need even remotely that much. Who knows? There's so many unknowns because, of course, it is in China and there's only so much we can learn. But we'll see what happens. Again, the huge caveat here is privacy and censorship. We don't know what's being taken from this information, but I think it's pretty amazing. I would love to use it, except for some reason they've got the notice saying that they're being, I don't know, maliciously attacked or something, and for some reason everyone can log in or sign up. I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to from Canada. Not saying that governmentally I can't or anything, or like against the law, but maybe they're not allowing Canadians. Maybe it's only just the US. I don't know. There's just not enough information. I just know that I can't seem to do it. I tried logging in and creating an account with stepforth.com with my email. Nope. No, it just said this domain's not approved. I've tried it with my Gmail account. That obviously wouldn't be an issue, but it's just said, sorry, try again later kind of thing. So I don't know what's going on. I'd love to be testing it. One of the things that I wanted to share, though, which blew my mind, and from my very basic understanding, it's because of this ensemble architecture, this expert architecture they're using in math. It's nuts. So I don't know whether they're cherry-picking which of these math tests they're using, but there's a Math 500 test that they do a review of. A sort of a benchmark across the different AI tools. And, OpenAI was 74.6. They're at 90.2. I mean, $6 million? Wow. So that's the power of it. It's way higher. This is crazy. CNMO 2024. For all I know, that's a Chinese one and maybe it doesn't apply, but there is benchmarks for OpenAI. They had 10.8, whereas DeepSeek had 43.2. That's pretty nuts, the changes in it. And for coding, it's not quite as good, but it's not far off. A lot of the stats aren't quite as good, like in English, not quite as good, but again, not far off. So pretty impressive. Actually, it's mind-blowing for the price that they put out there.
Yeah, and to think how new they are. Yeah. You know, what are they going to be capable of in a year?
Yeah. Well, and if they can truly shrink the power required and the time required to bring something like this to market, it's flipping everything on its head, because we were really, well, I was actually hoping for a bit of a slowdown, but now with something like this that's managed to speed things up and use less power, that's not likely. So maybe this will just keep getting out of control. I feel like our brain's going to blow up. There's so much going on with all this AI. It's hard to keep track of any of it. All right, let's jump into some Mueller files. What have we got here?
Yeah, we got a nice little simple one. Something a little lighter fare after Ross's main course there. So John Mueller was asked a question on Blue Sky. The question was basically regarding dynamically updating robots.txt files in order to limit crawling during busy times. And the question the person wanted to block Googlebot in the morning and then update robots.txt in the afternoon to allow it again so that it wouldn't crawl in the morning, which there's a lot to unpack there, I guess. I don't think that's a good idea anyways. John's main response was that this is a bad idea because Google caches the robots.txt for up to 24 hours. So they wouldn't see that change every day anyways. Google and John recommend if you want to limit bots to use a 503 service unavailable header or a 429, which means too many bad requests, too many
requests.
That
sounds like the best one.
Yeah, status codes instead. And even Google's documentation says they do not recommend doing this for an extended period of more than 1 or 2 days. It's best used only if you need to urgently reduce the crawl rate for a short period of time. So I don't think there's any real reason why you'd ever want to block Google unless you don't want your stuff indexed. You used to be able to use a crawl delay in robots.txt. That is no longer supported by Google. So you could put it in your robots.txt and Google will ignore it. My recommendation is let Google do Google. You know, let them do what they want and crawl unless you really desperately need them to stop. I have not personally seen a situation where Googlebot was causing major problems. Not to say it can't happen or doesn't happen sometimes, but I can't think of a specific instance where in 20, 2 years now where I've sat back and said, oh man, we have to block Google for part of the day because it's killing our system resources. So, but if you absolutely have to, use a 503 or a 429. A little technical, but.
I was just trying to remember, this is showing how bad my memory is, which is rather notorious. Was the crawl delay meta ever respected? Or was it just foo-foo?
It definitely was by Bing.
Okay.
And some others. I assumed it was by Google. Like, I've never actually used it because we've never had to use it.
No.
I believe it was used back in the day by Google, but I might be mistaken. Maybe Google's never paid attention to it.
I don't know. Anyway, it's certainly old. I was just curious. I know one of the ones we always used to laugh at, and I can't even remember what that is anymore. Oh, dear.
It's so much old stuff. We should do a show, SEO 101 2002 edition, and just
that would be hilarious.
That could be fun. April 1st. Oh crap!
Here we go.
We just gave it away, but maybe we'll do it anyway.
So no way. Who cares? It'd be funny just to do it. Yeah, we'll go back and find our archives from 2001 or something. That'd be great.
I kind of want to do that now. I want to write a show as if it's 2002. Like, I don't know if the listeners would want to. Do you want to listen to it? Hit us up on Facebook. Do you want to hear a show like that for fun? I want to make it. I feel like that'd be super fun to make that episode.
It would. It'd be hilarious. We'd have to have a really cheesy soundtrack too.
Oh yeah. We could.
We'll cheese it up a little more anyway.
I'm excited. And before we go though, I just want to this is sort of a little side note. I was having some issues with SEMrush. I was trying to do something. I didn't know how to do it. I was super confused. I was having a real dumb day. And so I used their chat, online chat tech support. And I connected with a guy named Nico within under a minute. And the customer service blew me away. And I don't normally rave about this sort of thing. And, you know, we're not paid by SEMrush. They're not an advertiser on SEO 101, I don't think.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. They should be. Come on, guys. Call us. But this is just me personally. Within probably 15 minutes in the chat, they had solved all my problems. He had gone into our account. He figured out what my problem was. We shared screenshots back and forth. Nico was just totally awesome. I actually told him, I'm going to give you a shout out on the next episode because I've never been that impressed with an online chat tech support person before. They were really great. So
I wonder if Nico's AI.
I'll tell you right now, if Nico is AI, my mind is completely blown away. And because I had no hint of Nico being AI, like that was like, oh man, SEMrush, if Nico's AI, please let me know. And I'm going to move into a yurt in the woods and give up on technology because it's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
That would be so awesome. And you know, it's probably not far off. Well,
no, it isn't.
On behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Van Ack, thank you for joining us today. Remember that we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. And have a great week. Remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.FM.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fall in love with low prices, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on delicious 12-packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.